It's good. Hey, listen, I need some help today. I have some Easter eggs in my car, and I'm certain I'm going to forget to bring them in. So if someone or several of you would say, don't forget your Easter eggs, that'd be really good. Well, today I'm going to talk about a topic that I don't know very much about. And honestly, that's not unusual. But even more so today. It's kind of like this question I sometimes think about because sometimes my mind just goes weird. What was life like for me before I was born? I don't know. But sometimes I think about it, you know, and then when I'm thinking about something that goofy, I'm like, I have not been taking drugs. I don't know what's the deal. But today I'm going to talk about heaven. And wow, what do I know? And I've read the Bible a lot, and I've read it a lot this week. I read it a lot every week, but this week I've read a lot. And, you know, I'm kind of back to where I started. So I hope you just let your mind be open today, and not just to what I say, but what maybe the Holy Spirit would lead you to. So let's pray about that right now. We pray, Father in heaven. And when we say that heaven, do we know where you are? And so as we talk about it today and think about heaven, Father, we ask that you would open our heart and our mind, our spirit, to receive some encouraging words from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now then, let me remind me about my Easter eggs. Okay, so here's the thing. We are all getting older. Yeah, you are. Leanne, you too. And as that happens, and you know people who are getting older, right? And as you know people who are getting older and you yourself are getting older, you know, there is this reality that's facing us ahead. And, you know, it's like sometimes my dad will say something like this to somebody. Hey, somebody will ask him, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. How are you doing? And dad will say, well, I'm terminal. And they go, oh, no, what happened? I said, well, I was born. And, you know, that's a reality. Am I right? But sometimes it's more reality than other times. And so this is interesting. We know this quote, but it's from Benjamin Franklin. He said, in this world, there's nothing is certain except death and taxes. Well, he said that soon after he had signed the Constitution of the United States, and he was being asked the question, what do you think about the Constitution? Is it going to make it? And he said, well, I think it's got a chance, but, and then he said this, there's only death and taxes. And you know, that's true. Well, I don't even know about taxes, but yeah, so far, pretty certain. As a matter of fact, how many of y'all, never mind, that's not going to go about taxes. But death is coming on us. It's in front of us. It's going to happen to us. And one of the things that I think about Christians and what they say they believe and then how they actually act out their lives, sometimes it doesn't match. And one of the places I think it often doesn't match is do we really believe there is a good, great, wonderful life after death? Because the way we approach death is like, it's the worst thing that could ever happen. But you know what? That's Paul in Philippians, right? He says this. He's in prison. And he says, I'm in prison here and I could die. And you know what? If I did, that'd be the best thing for me. And yet, I don't know many people who really take that view that, wow, death is coming and I'm excited about it. So if we really believe there's this place that we're going to go, I mean, it'd be like some of you have even planned a vacation, have you not? And you get excited about that vacation because you're going to go somewhere that's really cool. And as you get ready to go, you're getting more excited about it, more excitement. What would be like if we would think of heaven as that place? And I probably think heaven's better than the place you went. You might have been on some pretty cool vacations. But I'm thinking, as I'm reading and I'm listening, I'm thinking heaven is better than that. It's better than any place and any beach. How many of you are beach people? How many of you are mountain people? How many of you are both? I mean, anywhere to anywhere, people. Yeah. Heaven's better than that. I really think heaven is better than that. And there are some things about this life and that next life that I want to talk about today. It's just some things I've read this week and sort of have struck me. And one is this, that there's going to be a new world, that we are living in a world now that Jesus and the disciples who wrote the Bible called the old, we're living in the old world, but there's going to be a new world. And John especially, he puts it like this, that eternal life, and sometimes that's, what is that? Is eternal life heaven? But John calls it something else, and this he calls it throughout his book. He talks about eternal life a lot. But one of the places where he gets down to it, and I'm calling it the definition verse, because he puts it like that. It's in John 17. Well, first of all, this famous verse in the end of John 16, he said, I've told you these things. He's told them a lot of bad things are going to happen to you. And he said, I've told you these things so that in me you would have peace, but in this world, you're going to have trouble. And he uses this idea of this world being different than this other world all the time throughout his writings in John and in 1 John and in the book of Revelation. He uses these words. But here's what he says in John 17 in that prayer. We call it the unity prayer. He says, you have granted, this is verse 2, you have granted him, that's your son, the authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all that you have given him. He's given us all eternal life. And then he says, now this is eternal life. This is eternal life, that they know you, the one and only true God. Eternal life is a knowing God, having an intimate relationship with God. And that doesn't begin even all through John. It doesn't begin when you die. It begins now. You have already begun eternal life. But he says the eternal part is it's not gonna end. So when you do die, the eternal life you're living now is going to continue. It's gonna be really different though. Okay? It's going to be really different because right now you're living in this world and yet you also have this relationship with God that John calls eternal life. Paul said in Philippians, I'd give up anything. I'll give up anything in this world if I can just know Christ. This is the thing. Eternal life is knowing God and having an intimate relationship with God. Not just knowing about God, but knowing God. So I'm going to begin. This is kind of still the beginning, and end with C.S. Lewis quotes. And this is one I want to talk about. Not only is we're going to have a new world, but this continues this new world idea. C.S. Lewis said, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. We're going somewhere else besides this world. Now, this world is not talking about the earth necessarily. It's talking about the culture. It's talking about the way we live. It's talking about society. It talks about human relationships. This world, it talks about our mindset. This is what this world is. We're not just talking about trees and flowers and the ocean and mountains, the earth. We're talking about this world. And we're talking about the spiritual and intellectual realities, this world. We're meant for a different world, is what C.S. Lewis is saying. And one of the things that's going to happen in the new world is that we're going to have a new body. Now, at this point, everyone should say, amen. We want a new body. We have a decaying body. And you know, there are some still sitting in this room, towards the back and over on the side, that your body is still like in pretty good shape. But there's a majority of us here that our bodies are just, they're not what they used to be. Am I right? Can we say amen to this? Amen. And it's work, even to keep them in the poor condition they're in. It's work. It's work. And we see our bodies decaying. I remember when I first noticed that my hair was falling out. And I thought, it's a curse. It's my dad. He did this to me on purpose. But you know, our bodies, they just can't do what they used to do. And some of us try. And some of us have just kind of, given in. And that's kind of where I'm at lately. But even more recently, I have this reminder that my body is decaying because about 2 weeks ago, a tooth of mine just broke. And I went to the dentist, which, you know, don't like going to the dentist, even though my dad was one. And the worst part about going to the dentist is paying. And then not only that, though, I have to remind myself that everything I had as a kid, I got because people went to the dentist. But I go to the dentist and he says, well, there's nothing I can do about this tooth. It's dead. Oh, boy. But it's going to take a few weeks for us to get to be able to take it out and take care of you. I'm like, And so I had this reminder, this daily, almost meal by meal reminder that I'm decaying. I'm decaying. And all of us in some way are this. Our bodies are decaying. But the thing is, we're going to get a new body. I want to read just a few exciting things to you. And there's a lot more, man. There's so much more to read than I'm going to have the chance to read today. But I want to read this, and this is from 2 Corinthians. And I think you know this scripture. We've talked about it before. We're going to talk about this. In terms of our bodies, it says, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. Though outwardly, we are wasting away. Amen? Say yes. But inwardly, we're being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles. And man, I'm looking around the room and I know that some of us have had so much more than light and momentary troubles. They're hard. But he says they're achieving for us an eternal glory. There's that eternal word again. It's going to last forever. That far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, which is look at me in the mirror. But instead of looking at that, I look at something else. I look at what's unseen, because what is unseen is eternal. And then Paul in Philippians says like this. He says, He says there's some people, their God is their stomach. You know, it's physical. It's all about their physical. He said, but wait a minute. Our mind is set on something else than our earthly bodies. He says our citizenship is in heaven. We talked about that last week. And we eagerly await a Savior from there. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, what? Will transform our lowly bodies so that they'll be like his glorious body. What? I don't know if what he looks like. I don't necessarily think he's like a bodybuilder, you know? If he looked like Brad Pitt, wouldn't be surprised. But, you know, my body's going to be like his body. What I'm thinking is whole and healthy. Whole and healthy. But it's going to have somebody of some sort. And I don't think it's going to be physical necessarily like this. But we're going to have some kind of body, and it's going to be good. It's going to be good. In 1 John chapter 3, he says, this is going to happen. He says he calls us how great a love he has for us because he calls us his children. And then it says the world didn't know him. That's why they don't know us. He says, but we know this. When Christ appears, we'll be like him. When he returns, we're going to be like him. Our body is going to be transformed. And so I'm looking at death and I'm talking about death. And, my dad and mom, we talk about death a lot because dad is very involved in a military cemetery out near Abilene. So he talks about it a lot, and he calls it the Westlake Road. That's the road it's on. And he'll talk about dying. He won't be long, he'll say, till he's going to be at the Westlake Road. And so we know this thing is coming. This thing is coming. But when his body is actually in that grave, is it? No, because I believe we're going to get a new body. And so 1 Thessalonians talks about this. When people die, it says it's normal and it's good to grieve. It's good to grieve, but we don't grieve, Paul says, till like other people do who don't know Jesus. Because we know that even though a person's body is dead, Jesus is coming back and he's going to raise us from the dead. Now, I don't know what that's going to look like or what that's going to be like. There's some descriptions about it and they kind of vary and they give me not a clue. Still, I read it. I don't know. But we're going to be raised. Our body is going to be raised and our body's going to be transformed. You with me? Your body was transformed in the womb. You know how that happened? I don't. I mean, I've seen it, but, you know, it's a miracle, isn't it? Your body starts out as a seed, and then it begins to grow. And then we call it like a fetus. But then all of a sudden, it's a baby. And then all of a sudden, it's born. And then it keeps growing. And it's transforming. I don't know what our new body is going to look like or how it's going to be transformed. But I do know this. I do believe this. I choose to believe what the Bible says here, that our bodies are going to be awesome. And the thing that's going to be great about them is in this new world with our new body, there's certain things that aren't going to be there. And here's some things that aren't going to be there. There's going to be no pain. How many of you came in today with some kind of chronic pain? I have this arthritis in my wrist that hurts sometimes horribly. And then other times it just hurts. But it's pain. We live with pain and we fear pain and we dread pain. And there's going to be no more pain when this new world and this new body comes. I'm excited about that. I'm more excited about that than I am about going to Rio Doce this summer. And I'm pretty excited about that. But I want to go to a place where there's no pain and I have a new body and I'm in a new world and there's no sadness. And there's no hunger, and there's no death, no more death. There's no evil. There's no evil. There's no war. There's no displaced people like we just watched in the video, because this world, this new world and new body is coming. And then we're not only that, we're going to have this. We're going to have treasures that last. You know what? And this is the old joke. You never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul, right? I mean, because our stuff wears out. How many of you got stuff that wears out and so frustrated when it wears out? You know, one of the things that bugs me is I like my phone. I don't want to get a new phone. I like this phone. It's a six. Some of y'all got double the six. I'm dreading the day when I have to get a new phone, because, well, you know what'll happen? They'll invent stuff that I have to use that won't, this phone won't work. Man, I hate that. What's the deal with that? I want treasures that will last. I want things that will last besides just my body. And this is what Jesus says. Don't put your treasure in the Sermon on the Mount in things that don't last. Put your treasures in heaven. Paul says the same thing to Timothy. He says, you guys, there's this stuff called money, and you can buy stuff with it. And if you put all your hopes and dreams into your stuff, they're going to rust. They're going to rot. They're going to wear out. They're going to get too old. Don't put your trust there. Put your trust in things that will last. So I'm believing there's this place we're going to go. Jesus called it heaven, treasures in heaven. He said, there's this place we're going to go where stuff lasts. It doesn't run out. It doesn't wear out. My body won't wear out either. And so I want to put my trust in that. But here's the main thing. Here's the point I want to get to, and a couple of different ways I'm going to go at this. But there's going to be that we are the bride of Christ. This is talked about in the Bible several different places. But one is at the end when he's talking about the wedding, that we're going to be the bride. And the church, not just Bob, but it's always in plural. There's going to be us. Even in Revelation, it's usually a great multitude. We are going to be the bride. We're going to be the bride. And now, this idea of being the bride is that I'm going to be most intimately involved. The most intimate picture you can have is of a bride and a groom and their wedding. And this is me in the presence of God, that he loves me like a groom loves his bride. And you know, right now we're in the wedding mode here at CCC because Michelle, right? And I'm guessing y'all are getting ready for the wedding, right? And here's what Revelation talks about like this, that Jesus is going to come back, you know, when the bride's ready. And the bride's getting ready. And we, the bride, are getting ready. And how are we doing that? Well, another place he says, because we're purifying ourselves. We're letting his Holy Spirit transform us so that we're ready for him. And when he comes, there's going to be a wedding. And that's when he's going to return. Now then, here's what's going to happen to probably most of us, even though he could return this afternoon, you think? Might not, but he could. But so Bob here, 69-year-old Bob, he's going to die in a couple of weeks or days or months or years. And when he dies, Jesus is going to resurrect him, and it's going to seem like that. It's going to seem like just a moment. Now, it might be a little longer in human years, but in God time, it's going to be like that. And he's going to return. He's going to raise my body up, and I'm going to be in the wedding as the bride. And it's kind of creepy to think about as a male wearing a wedding dress. But this is because it's going to give me a new body, I guess. And who knows, maybe a wedding dress will fit it. But it's going to be like Jesus. And so, and here's the great thing about a wedding, right? And not only the wedding is the beginning. The wedding is the beginning of a marriage. And here it is. The creator of the universe has chosen me to love. And this is what we long for more than anything else, more than new toys or more than a vacation. We long for love that will last. And maybe this is more my story than yours, but I think it's ours. I'm going to tell you some pretty personal things today. And some of them have to do with you. I'm a work in progress. Okay? And one of the things that I can't wait till heaven comes is when my own fear is overcome. I may not look like a fearful guy to you sometimes, maybe even sometimes look a little overconfident. That's a disguise. Because I have certain fears in me that are constant. And they all have to do with this. I have a fear of disappointing people that I love. Because this has been my story, disappointing people I love. So one of the people that I have this fear of disappointing is you. Almost every Sunday, as I drive and have prepared and think, I have this fear of disappointing you. Now, when I step out of my feelings and I think logically, I think that is stupid. And I can even see it in some of your faces. You're like, that's dumb. But it's so real to me because I have been loved before. And I've been loved by people who I worked with and I worked for. And they loved me and I loved them. And then they didn't. And that was painful. And that wound is not healed yet. And so there's a fear that someday Steve is going to say to me after church, well, you need to do a little better next week or we're going to have to do something else. Or Danny's going to say, well, man, that is not the right way to read that verse, you know. That sounds crazy. It doesn't, and you're sitting there, but it's real for me. And then not only that, I was married for 40 years. And we were in love. And then we weren't. And then we weren't. And I tried a lot of times and a lot of things and a lot of ways. But it's really hard to make somebody love you when they don't. And so in a couple of weeks, Mary Beth and I will have been married for 3 years. And there are a lot of days where she's getting ready to come home from work. I'm wondering, is today the day that it's going to turn? Fear. Fear of disappointing. Fear of rejection. Fear of not being loved. I'll tell you one thing that heaven is going to do. It's going to put an end to that fear. This is where my faith is the biggest of all the faith I have, is that heaven will end fear, and especially the fear we have, the longing we have of being loved, totally loved, and being seen as a father sees a child, or as a husband sees a wife, I see a perfect bride. This is what Jesus said. He says, I see a perfect bride. And I look back and say, whoa, that can't be me. I'm not perfect. But that's what he sees. And just as Danny said, because you know why? Because of the cross. He sees me, a perfect bride, and that day is going to come where he raises me and I'm going to be in a new world with a new body, and he's going to say, that's my bride. That's my bride. That's my son. I love him with everything I am, and there's nothing he's done that can disappoint me, because the blood of Jesus has covered all of those things. And there's this moment he's going to say to me as I stand in front of him, as it says in Matthew 25, I'm going to stand up and he's going to say, well done. Woo! I'm going to say, really? Yes, well done. And I do want to go to Ruidoso this summer. But if Jesus comes first, I'll be happy with that. I want to go to heaven. And if you die before I do, I'm going to be a little jealous, more than sad. Is that okay with you? I'm going to be a little more jealous than I am sad. I'll miss you. I'll miss what you bring. I'll miss what you bring to my life. But I love you enough to be happy for you, so that there's no pain and there's no sadness and there's no fear. This is where we're headed. We're going to heaven. We were born for it. And we're going to sing a song about love. And now I'm going to tell you one more story. So let's stand and sing How He Loves. In the Chronicles of Narnia, the last book is called The Last Battle. And at the end of the story, the very last of the last lines I'm going to read to you, what's happened is the four children that have been in all the stories so far, well, some of them kind of dropped out, but then they came back. And so it's Aslan, the lion, the God, Jesus figure, and he's speaking to them. And it's at the very end. They've just finished this battle that they've had, and they're okay. And then he says, Lucy, the main child character throughout the stories, she says, we're so afraid of being sent back, Aslan. You have sent us back to our own world so often. And he said, no, there's no fear of that. Have you not guessed? And their hearts leapt, and a wild hope arose within them. And then Aslan says, there was a real railway accident. They always thought it was a dream, that they were in this dream where they were in a railway accident and their parents were killed. He says, it was a real railway accident, and your father and your mother and all of you, as you used to call it in the Shadowlands, you're all dead. The term is over. The holidays have now begun. The dream is ending, and this is the morning of your real life. And as he spoke, he no longer looked to them like a lion, but the things that were beginning to happen after that were so great and so beautiful that I cannot write them. And for us, this is the end of all the stories. And we can most truly say that they did live happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of their real story. All their life in this world and all of their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page of their book. And now they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, and which in which every chapter is better than the one before. That's where we're headed, where every chapter is better than the one before. And you know, it won't be long. And so what the bride's supposed to do, like Michelle right now, we're supposed to be getting ready. We're supposed to be getting ready. And so that's how we live our lives, getting ready for that great moment when it comes, celebrating as we go. So let's go. Let's live it out.